previously on The Bitter End.
So we're like 5 minutes in, and this is the point where Todd turns to me and says, I don't know if I can do this.
I don't know if I can do this now.
Hello, it's me, Jean-Claude Van Damme Dam.
So yeah, we've got like this guy is taught like the detective.
Oh, I can't.
With loads of explosions.
He was down at the bottom of that fucking lake.
Tom.
Why didn't they bring him back?
There can be only one.
It's happening, guys. It's the match of the century. It's one-on-one. Some people are gonna get caught in the crossfire.
You asked for it, you got it, eventually.
We are here to watch Freddy versus Jason.
What up, party people? It's the Bitter End Podcast with me, Tom Denny.
And me, Todd Jordan. And it's our 50th episode.
We are 50.
High five.
Oh, wait.
Guys, we just totally balked up that high five. It was great.
Yep. We should probably edit that out. But we're not.
No way! Not after 50 yet. We get to call the shots. Do you know that if we were a married couple, this would be our golden anniversary, Tom? 50.
Oh,
the year of gold.
Yeah, I feel that we are golden now.
And with Freddy versus Jason, we are going for gold.
Indeed. Film we've already seen.
Yes, a film we've covered in season one, and you know, it was pretty good. We talked long and hard about like, hey, what's it going to be like? You know, we have to re-review this film we've already covered, and we thought we would do something a little bit different for you guys. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring you into the room with us as we watch this movie together. We're going to do a commentary track that you can cue up and listen to if you want to while you watch the movie. And it will be like you're sat on the sofa, like tightly squeezed in between me and Tom's butts.
Yeah, but we're just like really harshly ignoring you.
Yeah.
but it'll be like you're kind of stalking us. You'll be like, have your nose pressed up against the glass, being like, wonder what they think of this bit.
Oh my God.
So yeah. Come along for the ride, won't you please?
Won't you please? You do not have to watch the movie while you listen to it. Some of it will make sense, some of it won't. We'll try our best. But the most crucial part is, unlike every other episode of The Bitter End, this will not be edited because otherwise we'll go out of sync with the movie. So you're going to get a little rawer vision of me and Tom. We're a little bit less polished, a little bit more rough edges.
We are nothing if not polished usually.
Oh my God, yes, that's the number one word I would use to describe our podcast.
Yeah, 50 episodes of polish, well, 49, and now this. Strap in, folks. So we should get cracking pretty soon, but like, what do you remember from watching this before?
Well, man, I remember when we watched it, which was the episode of our first Freddy vs. Jason was actually released a year ago today.
Whoa.
As we record this. So it was a while back, and I remember really liking the bits of the movie that have Jason Voorhees in.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, we were less au fait with Bobby UK.
Yeah.
And his bits were a bit more subtle. They were maybe slightly over my head. So I'm looking forward to dropping in and really getting to rinse more juice out of that lemon that is Bobby UK.
Oh, there's so much juice in that man. He is so zingy. And like, yeah, I wonder whether or not we'll have a newfound appreciation for it because we can now see it from Team Jace and also Team Bobby UK.
Any standout scenes that you remember really enjoying last time?
The bit where Jason catches on fire and runs through a cornfield.
That bit was super dope.
Yeah. Totally into that.
I also really remember enjoying the asshole character of Leather Jacket Douche.
Oh, yeah.
And some of his awful, awful lines that he has.
He's not in it for long, but he really leaves an imprint, doesn't he?
Booyah.
He's a fucking rat bag.
So I double checked. The IMDb score for the film has not changed over the last year. So either no one else is rating it or they're rating it consistently. It's still a 5.8.
That's still pretty good. I mean, within the context of the Elm Street films, it's been a bit of a smooth ride,
yeah.
Comparatively, compared to some of the other, you know, peaks and troughs we've had doing 50 episodes of this show.
What the hell?
What the fuck? Well, good on you, Bobby.
Yeah, dude is nothing if not consistent.
You done all right.
So look, shall we press play?
I'm all over it.
All right, guys, so if you are listening at home, you want to cue us up with your own watch of the movie, then we're going to do a countdown, and we're going to count to three, and then it's three, and then play. And if you're not watching the movie, just ignore this next little countdown bit.
Yeah.
You ready?
Mm.
One, two, three.
All right.
We're in.
Okay, here goes. Let's open the... Oh, okay, I'm ready.
Happy 50th,
Happy
buddy.
Happy 50th, buddy. To the end of the earth.
Oh, I liked that. That was the mix of the two classic themes. Mm.
Loves a bloody boiler room, doesn't he, Bobby UK?
He does.
Okay.
Such a goth. Burning dolls.
Well, he just kind of reminds me a bit of Scruffy from Futurama. You know, he's always like, my name's Scruffy. I'm the janitor. I hang out in the boiler room and I murder children.
But he murders... Ooh!
Yeah, so we've got... this is the plain-faced Bobby UK.
Pre-burning, pre-murdering. He had a really sick leather jacket on.
Gosh.
He's
a funny looking fellow, isn't he?
He is a bit. He's licking that picture. It's a bit creepy.
So his voice. We've not really talked that much about the Bobby UK Freddy Krueger voice.
Yeah.
It's a weird voice, right? Because it's like, it's obviously sounds quite digitally affected.
Yes.
Putting justice into their own hands.
I felt like it was very affected more so early on, and that maybe they've toned it down a bit. Oh, there's Bobby UK looking like a member of Slipknot. That's awesome. Oh, here
nice.
We go.
Nice.
Okay.
The mannequin scene from, what is that, Dream Warriors, right?
Yeah, Dream Warriors. So, oh, fuck off, Depo.
Fuck off, Depo.
Oh, some of these effects
That's
are standing up better than
two,
others.
I think, maybe.
That was from 3. Oh, the Freddy Krueger sleeping bag.
Well, most of this is from Dream Warriors, to be fair. This is the
actually, yeah. Yeah, most of this is just Dream Warriors. So we've just watched, like, they have, like, the best of Freddy section, and literally everything was from Dream Warriors, pretty much. Like, there wasn't, surprisingly, much in there from the first one. Isn't that weird?
It is weird. I wonder if that's a rights thing.
Yeah.
Oh, but now Jason's in it.
Fuck about.
I'm really sorry, guys. I just prefer Jason. And I know that that's because, I can project what I want onto him, right? So there's a lot about Freddy that's annoying.
And yes.
It's very hard to be that annoyed by Jason because he just doesn't fucking say anything.
Yeah, he just keeps to himself. So now we're back in classic slasher Friday the 13th territory, where we've just got gratuitous nudity, a bit of a skinny dip, girl in a pink shirt. I bet she's going to die.
With a machete diagonally across the face,
I mean, why did people keep on going to Crystal Lake, though?
Well, they kept changing the name, right? They changed it to Forest Green.
I think they only did it once.
Okay.
But then, wasn't like the timeline in these, that they all happened like the very next day after...
It was pretty consistent, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We're just...
Hello?
She's got different coloured eyes. One eye is a different colour to the other.
Ah.
I mean, button your shirt up. Let her button the shirt up.
They are absolutely not going to let her do that. This is very exploitative right now. And that is definitely something that you don't get in the Bobby UK movies.
You get a little bit of
that kind of...
No, that like they're fairly like... classy in a way, the Elm Street movies, right, compared to Friday, which is just like show some skin, show some blood.
Yeah, so if you were gonna like liken Elm Street and Friday to like a drink,
please liken away.
So like what would you say, like, because obviously like Friday the 13th is just like the trashy shit that just gets the job done.
Yeah, I can do this exactly for you.
Okay.
So, a Nightmare
Jason!
First Jason killer the movie, and oh, it feels good. Yeah, so I would say that Elm Street right, is absinthe.
Okay.
You know, exotic, hallucinogenic.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't drink that much of it.
Maybe not as good an idea as you always think it's going to be.
Yeah. Whereas, like, Friday the 13th
is just like
is
a
like,
can of skull.
No. It's a plastic milk jug of farm-brewed cider.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not just one of those. It's, like, 20 of them.
Okay.
You know, take it to a festival. Get the worst hangover of your life.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably say that, like, Friday the 13th is just, like, some shit warm beer on a summer's day that, like, you know it's not necessarily great, but it's just getting the job done and you're quite happy to, like, smash through some of it. And I would probably say that, like, maybe, like, Elm Street is, like, maybe a bit more of, like a slightly unsatisfying IPA. You know, like, when you, like,
oh,
say,
mate,
you know, like, if you...
Sick man.
You know, like, if you go to an off-license and you buy, like, a beer just, like, purely based on it having, like, a really jazzy label...
It's pretty much all I ever do.
So you go in there and buy it off a purely jazzy label and you drink it and you're like, that was okay.
Yeah.
But then the next time you have it, you're kind of like, it's kind of lost its sheen a little bit and it just kind of becomes a bit, it doesn't like deliver on the...
Yeah, exactly. Like the first cut is the deepest.
Yeah.
The first kiss is the sweetest. Oh my God, new metal is kicking in.
Yes. Okay, so we've done our, like drink comparison. So, for people that aren't watching along, we've just had the setup, which we've addressed in our, like, previous podcast about this film. But it was just nice having Jason back. So, Freddy's found his way out of hell. He needs the kids to remember him again. And so, he's going to get Jason to kill some people to trick people into thinking that it was him, and then he'll be able to come back. Kelly Rowland's on screen, the second most famous member of Destiny's Child. She's back, just like she was the last time we watched it.
I've got really strong memories of Bro Girl, right? The girl in the baseball cap. Like, she's probably the most memorable character from our last watch a year ago, I think.
Yeah, look at her.
She's so broing down.
Yeah. Yeah, you just smoke when you drink now. Badass. Yeah, she's... I feel like maybe she's a bit like... you know when a friend of the podcast, Rusty Schwimmer, was saying how when she played Joey B, it was originally cast for a man.
Yeah.
But she just broed down so
she
hard.
She played it as Virginia Madsen's father.
Yeah, but she just played it so hard they had to give her the part. And I feel that maybe there's a bit of that with Bro Girl. Oh, it's leather jacket
douche. He is the depot of this franchise. He's such a prick.
Yeah.
Oh, and there's Hip Flask.
We've got such broadly drawn characters in this. So we've got, like, a girl with a baseball cap. That's her character. A douchebag with a leather jacket. That's his character. And a guy with a hip flask.
You wouldn't put a character in a red baseball cap in a movie anymore, not in 2017.
No. Oh no. I mean, I suppose when they were doing it, like when this came out, they were like, maybe it was a bit more Fred Durst than now the reference of, like, you know, an angry white man in a red baseball cap is been usurped quite badly. So sorry, Kelly Rowland's getting real here.
I like her hair. She's got these cool red streaks in her hair, right?
Yeah. Do you think she was just really into Saffron from Republica's look?
It's all I can think.
Yeah.
She's touring at the moment.
Is she?
Yeah.
What, Saffron from Republica?
Saffron from Republica is doing a live show in our town with the band Space, that band that did The Female of the Species.
That sounds...
They're doing a co-headline tour.
I'm not going.
Touch that with a barge pole.
No.
Good feng shui.
So is this guy meant to be like feng shui bro? I don't remember
this character. I think he's...
He's hip flask bro.
Classic using the pillow on the crotch to cover the boner.
Yep, like that. That's good. So this is When did this film come out? 2003?
2003, I think.
I don't think everything's... I think it's not quite shiny enough for my liking.
You like, you need the blue filter.
I want so everything to be like shimmering brown. To me, that is the colour of the early noughties.
So chronologically, this is obviously the last Freddy Krueger film that Bobby UK plays Freddy Krueger, right?
Because we watched through it. It's a farewell to Bobby UK.
Yeah, it's Freddy Krueger's last outing, as the original Bobby UK. But I'm just trying to remember the order of things in terms of Friday. This is after Jason X, right?
Yeah, so...
But before the remake.
Yeah, so both of these are the last outings for the originals. But then, obviously, after the events of this film, Jason goes into space.
As you do.
And then, I guess, maybe Freddy Krueger, we find out it was the devil all along. I'm still not sure about that ending.
Well, it was just Satan all along.
It was, yeah. Don't know about that. Is this Hip Flask Bro is like switching to just some sipping beers?
Just some roadies. This is quite a weak house party, isn't it? Is it like five people?
It's more of a gathering.
It's just a gathering.
We've completely missed, like, why are they there? Is it like in all these films that like they've gone over because someone's had a bad dream or has one of them been dumped?
The main girl's, it's like her first outing, it's her first social experience since her mum died, I think she said.
Okay. So Leather Jacket Bro was boning down.
With Bro Girl.
So I know
she needs to make better choices.
I know for a fact that like one of your favourite bits of the film is going to be coming up quite soon.
I think it might be this scene.
Hey, babe, you know I don't like to be touched after.
Fine, I'll go have a shower then. Good.
Oh, he's such an asshole, though. I agree with Brogol. He is an asshole.
That is not acceptable behaviour. In any way.
Yeah, it's cool though because I'm pretty sure from what I can remember he gets handed to him.
Yeah, he's going to get fucked up. More nudity. They're really...
That's definitely a Friday the 13th requirement. Apparently, that's what these students... Yeah. Look at his chain.
Hey-o! Oh, he is
proper slasher death.
I really wanted Leather Jacket Douche though to like take a swig of his brewski while he's
being stabbed. Yes! Snap back in the folder bed.
Okay.
Boom. That's a move that Jason does twice, right? He does that to someone, the cop dad, early on in one of the other ones. He like snaps a policeman.
Yes, he
backwards.
Does. Yes.
I like it. Do you know what? This is just... It's really gratifying to have these like proper slasher kills back.
Yes.
That's good. There's just something about them where it's like no like magic, no supernatural element, just like a guy and a knife. And just like, because I think it forces the writers into these like creative puzzles of like, what haven't we done? What haven't we done yet? You know, what haven't we done before? How can we kill this person in a way we haven't done him? Fold him backwards in his folder bed.
But it needs to be kind of like within the bounds of semi-reality.
Yeah, exactly. But like
Elm Street
cartoon.
Can kind of do, you
it's
know.
It's like a Tom and Jerry thing, right? Yeah.
Yes.
So it's all, the physics are kind of right, but like just exaggerated.
I mean, Jason did punch someone's head clean off his shoulders in one of these films, which was absolute highlight for me.
Yeah. And I really miss that. So, like, I'm quite... That's... Freddy's, like, a really amazing character because he can do anything. But that kind of means that nothing he does really has that much meaning to me because he can do anything because it's kind of... It's all real, but it's also all not real.
I think that's... Yeah, maybe what... Oh, Frosted Tip Cop we've got here. Look at that douchey hair. That is unacceptable.
He looks like how I imagine a 19-year-old Gary Busey.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I imagine that he's just really into the band Sugar Ray. He's got that kind of look about him.
Yeah, look at him.
Oh, he really does look like Gary Busey.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Boo Boo.
Do you think he's like Busey's son?
Well, no. So Busey's got a famous actor son, Jake Busey.
Oh, yeah.
Who looks like a little bit like him crossed with like Matthew Lillard. He's got a bit of that type of face going on. I think he's in... Oh, I might be wrong. I want to say he's in Starship Troopers.
Right, okay. So, yeah, what we were saying before, the thing with, like, Freddy is, yeah, the reason he works so well in the first one is he's, like, kind of, like, hanging back so much. There's definitely something to be said about, like, keeping him in the shadows and then having him...
You need your monsters in the shadows.
That's kind of where the weaker entries with Jason kind of like fell short, because he's just too much, like, he's just there.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's one of the interesting things, like, one day we'll cover the Halloween movies.
Halloween.
And those are obviously another, like, really great slasher franchise set in the real world with real physics. And they do a really good job.
Ooh, that's spooky.
Sorry, all the kids' posters, the faces on the kids' posters were moving. With Michael Myers, they do a really good job of like some scary moments with him literally in bright sunshine, like walking around in the day, and he's still scary because he like gives away even less than Jason Voorhees does.
Yeah.
He's like even blanker, so he's always in shadow even when he's in light.
Into that. Well, I look forward to us maybe getting to that one day. It's on the list, folks.
It's on the list, don't worry.
What's going on? Spooky girl.
Oh, she's bleeding from the eyes, though. She ain't got no eyes, though.
His name is Freddy.
Now, so the little girl with the eyes just said, his name's Freddy Krueger. He loves children, especially little girls. Is that accurate? That Freddy loves children, especially little girls.
This is something that's never really been kind of addressed in the films, because we know that he was a child murderer.
Yes.
And then that's why the parents killed him. But he doesn't seem to ever go after... He always is going after, like, teenagers, isn't he?
Yeah.
So you never really kind of, like, got, like... So why was it kids, Bob? And now why is it...
Well,
I get in the first one because like the kids have maybe grown up.
In Freddy's Dead, they try to make this thing about like how his dad, aka Alice Cooper, like abused him and stuff, which is, you know, obviously horrible. Doesn't make you into a murderer.
Mm.
But then I think there's like elements of, oh, he was doing it because he just wanted to be like infamous, you know. Like, that's why he keeps that scrapbook in his nutty room and, like...
And we saw the scrapbook again in this.
Yeah, he's, like, he's just, like, oh, he's doing the worst thing he can think of because he just wants to be, like, remembered, even if it's as a monster.
Yeah.
So maybe that's it?
Yeah. So Hip Flask Bro is pretty pissed off right now. Drink. I wonder how many drinks you'd, like, if you watch the beginning of this. There's quite a lot of boozing in it. So you could do quite like a drinking game where you have to drink whenever anyone drinks.
Yeah. The meta drink.
Yes. Yep, drink. Well, there's like the With Nail and I drinking game like that where you do it drink for drink, but then I think you die.
Isn't that basically impossible? Yeah.
Basically, because I think if you're still standing by the point that he like starts drinking lighter fluid, then...
Yeah.
I mean, you could get quite heavily, like, you know, like buzzed, I think, for the beginning of this film. I think the boozing tones down a bit later on.
Why is there a goat there? There was a goat in the first Elm Street, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. In the high school. Ooh, boo! Ooh, spooky shadow. Ooh. Right, so Freddy has just appeared. He's tried. He's not strong enough to kill Hip Flask Bro. Voice doesn't...
The voice is wrong, right? Although...
Yeah, he just sounds like Bobby, like normal Robert England. He doesn't have like the super low voice, that kind of like pitched down voice. But I've got to say, the face...
Hang on, sorry to interrupt you, Tom. Something's coming up.
Hey! Dick Happadad.
Yes, and there's Jason.
Hey-o. Lot of blood in this.
I'm into it.
Okay, so at the is that the psych hospital?
So this
from
is the one from Dream Warriors, which is also where Freddy was conceived, if you'll remember.
And his mum was sealed up.
And his mum was sealed up. And this is the Hypnosil drug. Right.
Nice, deep cut there. Got some sensitive portrayals of mental illness going on here.
This is par for the course with all of these. Like,
yeah.
Hang on, that...
Who's he?
I think I talked about this before. Is maybe just while we were watching it. I think this is the guy that I was convinced played Blossom's girlfriend in Blossom, and then I turned out to be wrong, but he really looked like Blossom's girlfriend. Sorry, Blossom's boyfriend.
I never watched Blossom,
it
so this
fucking
is...
fucking shit.
Okay, right. It's lost on me.
Some of our listeners definitely watched Blossom. Doesn't this guy look a bit like he was Vinny? I'm right.
So this is the boyfriend of Laurie, the main girl, and
yeah,
and
so,
he's in a psych hospital.
Yeah, and Laurie's mum is dead, and this
and they
the
think
truth.
Don't they think that the dad?
Yes,
but it wasn't
it
the
wasn't
dad.
I think it was the Kruganator. Okay,
Krug dog. Okay, we've got some very One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest kind of biz going on here. Could just do with like a really nice little cameo from Danny DeVito in the background.
Oh, mate, the DeVeets. D-Dog.
D-Dog.
I'm sorry that I can possibly have to give everybody a wacky nickname.
I think we just have to roll with it now.
Right.
And I think this is just like our lives from now on. But yeah, like the Freddy makeup, I think, is looking...
Well, the makeup's better.
Better than in New Nightmare.
New Nightmare. Well, this is the thing, because this kind of fucks with the flow of it, because the last film was super meta and was like in the real world. Mm. So this isn't necessarily the same Freddy, right? So the nice bit of bum on screen, lovely stuff. Sorry, little bum interruption there.
No, sorry, Todd. I can't. You're gonna have to wait. I'm still really enjoying this.
The bum interruption.
Yeah. This guy's got his like threatening, pouch for.
Yeah.
Doping people up.
My point was that like the Freddy in New Nightmare, right?
Yeah.
That's a different Freddy. That's the Freddy that comes out when people stop making these movies.
Yeah.
Right? That's the entity that comes to life that was like bottled up by Wes Craven's movies. So now presumably the fact that they made this film is like, the children of the world are safe for another year.
Yeah.
Because this movie got made. But now they've stopped making these movies. Right?
So we could go back to the world of Wes's New Nightmare and... the evil entity might have come back.
And who is it now? I can only assume that it's Vin Diesel's character in The Fast and the Furious. But he found a new home.
Yeah, he is an unholy evil. So I'll tell you, going back to the New Nightmare, just to plough that field a little bit more. You know what was a really big missed opportunity?
Hit me.
Is like a split screen moment between Freddy Krueger, a.k.a. the devil, and real-life John Lennon sunglasses Bobby UK. Like, to have Freddy Krueger kill Robert England.
Yeah, you said that while we were watching it.
They
and I thought that was a super cool idea.
I just was convinced they were going to do it because, I mean, Wes Craven is a very talented filmmaker, but... come on, mate.
Yeah.
That's
a gimme.
That's a home run, isn't it?
Yeah. Fucked it.
Oh, well.
At least drink your juice. Come on. You got to drink your juice.
Didn't he put a lot of drugs in the juice?
Oh, did he?
I think so.
Oh, is this like a repeat of the... Okay. Because... Right. That's a world-weary cop if ever I saw one.
I mean, these are two world-weary looking blokes.
It's a small town. The cop shouldn't have to work that hard. He shouldn't look like that. He should look well-rested.
Well, Okay, now here's the thing. Where does this happen in the timeline? Because Freddy's Dead is set 10 years in the future.
Oh my God.
And all the kids are dead. And we know at the end of this film that, like, you know, Freddy always gets his head cut off, but he winks at the camera. So chronologically, does this happen, like, after part five?
Fuck, man, you've put me through the looking glass there.
Or is this Well, no, it's not a standalone, because we've just had flashbacks. Did we have any flashbacks from... We didn't have any flashbacks, I don't think, from...
Part
Freddy's Dead.
Five.
So maybe Freddy's Dead is not considered canon. Ooh, things that are canon. you know the conversations.
You definitely seem to prefer anything that isn't canon to something that actually is.
I like anything that's good and messy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like if someone could somehow find a way to make a standalone film that wasn't part of a franchise, but that also was not canon.
Yeah.
That would be your favourite film of all time.
Yeah. Oh, here's the guy that's basically Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Look at him. Douchebag. Bro girl still laying it down, though.
Broing down, totally.
I'm also enjoying that Kelly Rowland is only wearing outfits that match the colour of her hair, which I think is pretty strong. Also, how old do you think Kelly Rowland is in this?
I was just thinking this.
I'm thinking 22.
I have no idea how old she is, but she... easily graduated.
Oh, undoubtedly.
A long time ago.
I mean, I imagine there was some guy in the background there. I don't know where he's gone, but like, some good extras in this, who looked like he was 30. And I don't think he was a teacher. He had a full on goatee beard.
Isn't it how, like, every time, so many movies, especially like
this
horror
dude,
movies.
How old is he?
He looks like, yeah, he looks like easily 35.
Okay.
This is the thing, like, there's so many movies set in secondary schools or, like, high schools. And if they ever actually cast, like, real high school-age kids in them, it would just look weird. Like, people would just be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, who's this, like, doughy, spotty little...
Yeah, exactly.
Why can't I have, like, some, like, handsome 30-year-old?
You need people that have grown into their look.
Yes. I mean, is...
That's enough!
Everyone, obviously, in 2003, didn't really know how to buy, like, jackets that fit. Everyone is wearing really boxy jackets. Right.
How old were you in 2003, Tom?
I would have been...
You would have been, what, 21?
21.
21. I would have been 20, yeah. I would have been maybe about the age of these, like, actors playing these characters. I was probably wearing worse jackets.
I mean, to be fair, I probably was. But, Kelly Rowland's got a really ugly skirt on.
You're being really mean to Kelly Rowland.
No, I'm just... She's doing a fine job. I just don't think they've really, like... I don't think they're, like...
They haven't given her a chance
to
shine.
Well, I was going to say they've styled her badly, but then they've really styled everybody badly far, haven't they?
I don't have any memory of this scene. Like, something spooky is about to happen. You can tell something spooky is about to happen because the music's telling you it's about to happen.
You know what else is going on, mate? Cheeky blue filter.
Oh, yes, getting a bit blue.
Oh, she's reading the magazine about cosmetic surgery.
Oh! Hey! Freddy claws out the nose. Ah!
Oh!
Nose job!
I forgot about that. So Freddy Krueger just ripped Kelly Rowland's nose off by sticking two razor fingers up his nose. So the boyfriend and his creepy mate who got his bum out, they've escaped the psychiatric hospital.
Yeah.
His little mate is basically wearing a tent made out of denim. Like, he's got, like, obviously a giant boxy jacket, but some really big-ass jeans as well. There we go. Quick! After that denim tent and his friend.
Read! Just a big poster in the library that just says, read!
Okay, I like that.
Well, all right, I'm already at the library.
Yeah.
You don't need to win me over at this point.
Oh, look, they've redacted everything on... Did they redact everything on Freddy Krueger? Or is that... It's just like... Or is just like the...
Like the blocking. Yeah, there's redacted info. So much, like, research needs to go on. Like, every one of these movies, the kids are like, oh, we're going to have to research more of the history of bloody Bobby UK. And it's like...
The fact that nobody is... It should be, like... Yeah, like, they covered him up, man. They covered him up. It's like, what happened to, like, all the kids that got away from that dodgy, like, barbecue massacre in the second film? Like, unless they all grew up and all moved away or they all never talked about it. Because you know what people would do if, like, there was, like, a rumour about, like, kids getting killed when you were, like, at that age at school? Like, everyone would be talking about it. Like,
I
it
mean,
would be
even we know that the next...
Sick van!
Yeah, it's like Krieger from Archer. It's like his van.
Yes!
Even after that barbecue massacre where people died, the next day, at the end of the film, someone is on the school bus talking about it and being like, hey, that party was crazy, huh?
Oh, yeah! And it's like, no, people died.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gotten very blue filter now.
Well, they've got one of those, like, blue lights that, like, but they put in public toilets to stop people taking drugs.
Yes. So, wait, this kid's, like, annoyed that he looked up Freddy Krueger because now that he's told people about Freddy Krueger, people are going to start dreaming about Freddy Krueger, right?
Yeah, so I think this is quite an interesting... I think it was an interesting way that they brought the characters together by, like, the almost like Freddy is like a virus, like fear is like a disease, and once it starts, it, like, spreads, you know, like once the seed is planted in, like, other people.
Yeah.
Which is, like, interesting enough.
That is interesting. I just, it loses something for me because, like, that bit where he flicked Freddy, where Freddy flicked Kelly Rowland's nose off.
Yes.
That would have been a brutal scene if her nose had stayed off. But the problem was, a second later, she was fine. She's just fine.
Yeah. It was also, like, CGI. So this is, like, the first one of these films where we're dealing with, like...
Ropey, naughty CGI.
Like, obviously, there's like some, like, computer effects, like dodgy computer effects in other films, like Freddy in the Clouds. But in this, it's like the kind of the gore is CGI, which is kind of
exactly.
It's not tangible. Oh, hello.
Right now, we are getting
who's
into
this baby boy?
The meat of this film with our beautiful baby boy,
Mr. Big J. Voorhees.
With the scraggy hair and the big blank stare, rocking up to the cornfield maze.
So is it that they've all gone to this rave to try and stay awake?
I don't think these kids are that aware of Freddy yet. I think they're going there to just try and, like, blow off some steam.
Fair enough. Kelly Rowland just called this kid a bedwetter. She's a tough cookie in this.
Yeah.
Oh, but they're saying that she hates herself. Oh, yes, because she was asking about nose jobs. So there's this whole thing that, like, Kelly Rowland is, like, her character is this tough, take-no-nonsense kind of gal. But I think she's got, like, they're suggesting that she's like that because she's got body issues.
Honestly, man.
She is one of Destiny's Child. Look at that fucking bucket hat.
So, some of the extras in this rave scene.
There is some amazing shit going down, people.
Incredible.
Oh my God, look at that wacky festival hat. Oh my God.
Oh, I just want to live in this rave scene.
Yeah.
For everyone just be like, whoa, you guys are assholes.
Like, how old do you think the people were that, like, wrote or sort of, like, you know, put this scene together? Like, the people who were doing the costumes.
Fuck, man. It's even better when you realise that, obviously, when they were shooting it, so that you could get a valid recording of the dialogue, there was obviously no music playing on the set while they were recording. So they're just like, everybody just kind of jive about. Just have, like, a bit of a silent jive so that we can hear, like, Vinny from Blossom and the other girl, like, having a whisper conversation in the corner.
That always bugs me in, like, clubs. Like, you know, club scenes, you just never got people just, like, shouting into each other's faces.
You were hot.
And then, yeah, like repeating the line about five times. And then,
Freddy's come back.
And then just being like, I'll talk to you later.
Jaeger bomb. Yeah.
Or that thing of just like them just going like, yeah, you know, when you just smile and nod and go, huh, yeah. When they've actually like said like, I'm bleeding out my dick. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why I went there. That's that conversation has never happened to me in a club.
Hey, mate. You've still got some years left. You never know. Your clubbing days aren't done. It could happen.
I don't know, mate. I feel like they are. If this is the state of clubbing, there's... fucking hell, there's some dickheads in this.
What kind of rave did people bother to
run? Oh, look at the DJ.
Oh, my God.
Love him. And this person, the glittery glow stick jacket that's like...
I just like that they were organising an illegal rave and they bothered to remember to bring plastic cups for their beer, not just being like, you know what, I think people will just drink it straight from the bottle.
Well, no, I think it's because it's like an American thing. It's kegging, isn't it?
Oh, well, whatever.
Because no one can get... Because, like, America... Come on, America. What's with this, like, 21...
If this was in Sussex...
Yeah, everyone would just, like, be rocking up with, like, carrier bags of Oranje Boom.
Of, like, Tesco tinnies.
Yeah, exactly.
6% lager.
Speaking of which,
I'm loving this... Oh, mate.
I'm going to have another... Getting in on another...
In preparation... Thank you. Oh. In preparation for the best kill of the movie.
Yeah, for the best bit. So, Bro Girl has just seen the ghost of Leather Jacket Douche. She's drunk, chasing him through a cornfield. So this ghost is going to be, obviously going to be Freddy, but she's not asleep though. Or has she passed out? Maybe she's passed out.
Well, she kind of wandered off. I don't know, man.
Because now she's going to a spooky boiler room. But you've got to be asleep to see Freddy, unless it's the second Elm Street film, in which case Freddy just pops up and does whatever.
Anyone's having a barbecue.
Yeah. So I think that she's passed out drunk.
Is that the same as being asleep? Like, because if you pass out drunk, you don't normally dream, right? Like, it's normally just like a blank, dreamless...
Oh, latex wall!
That's right, with the cool sound effect of the steel, like...
Yeah, she's conked out.
Billy Idol.
Yeah, I was going to say rave Billy Idol is there.
Silly Idol, I call him. Hey, hey.
Pants are off the chain, mate. He loves a boiler room, does Freddy. Although, like, because Freddy obviously had his wacky room in the family home.
Oh, yeah.
But that was kind of like more like the archive.
Yeah.
You know, because he obviously had a classic Bobby UK laughing. obviously he had a boiler room where he liked to do his murdering, but then he had a murder room, and then he had his work.
That
was so like a workshop one. And then like he had like, so this is like the workshop area and then come through to my office, which is where he like keeps all his scrapbooks.
Very, very organized. I like having the glove back, because in New Nightmare, obviously the claws were part of his hand. I like having that glove.
Okay.
Oh no, she tripped and fell.
Ooh, bonk.
Painful fall.
So I've got to say, actually, that Bobby UK has been pretty good in this so far.
Whoa, 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 though. Whoa. Rave Billy Idol is absolutely committing a legit crime.
Yeah, not cool. But I feel that he's probably going to get murdered very soon.
Whoa, though.
Yeah. That's the real horror in this.
Fuck me, though.
Yeah. I'd forgotten about that. Not cool. Poor Bro Girl.
She's not having a good run of it.
Literally having like a bad time in the dream world and the real world.
Jesus.
I would say that like Freddy Krueger's been actually quite successfully scared. He hasn't done anything silly yet.
Low on the quipometer.
Very low on the quipometer. He's been hanging back. Like, the quips he's made have not been goofy.
So, like, just then when Bro Girl fell off the thing and the camera zooms in on Bobby UK's face and you think, oh, he's going to have a quip. And it just goes, ah.
Oh, so Freddy was just about to kill Bro Girl.
But Jason did it first!
With a massive bloody spear and has killed evil rave Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Just like thrown him through the sky. So here's where the conflict starts. Because Freddy does not like sharing kills.
Right. Okay, because yeah, this rivalry wasn't quite clear when we first watched it. This is the bit.
This is the bit. Mate,
okay, come on.
Okay, shit Ryan Reynolds and his mate.
Check out, fucking guy.
Check out this fucking... Man, that beer has fizzed up all over me. Something fizzed.
Not a Halloween party, brah.
Good one.
Yes!
Yes. Broke his fucking neck. So... the thing about this scene...
Mate, that was some really strong drink if you can just set a light to it, like, instantly.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. Like, well, I don't know. Like, when people are drunk, they get a bit of bravado. But I don't care how drunk you are. You would not just, like, start ragging on someone who's, like, Jason Voorhees, who's, like... they're having to, like... arch their necks to look up at him so they can look in his face.
Yeah.
That is a sign that you do not fuck with that guy.
Yeah, and like what they're ragging... Oh, this mate, is so amazing.
The aerial shot of Jason just burning everything.
Like through the cornfield. Oh, I love it.
Straight into the middle of the rave. Really nice little backpack there on that extra... Oh, flaming sword through the chest.
Blood out the mouth.
Oh my God, yes. Jason should just be on fire all the time.
When a man loves a death scene.
Yes. I mean, if he was on fire all the... Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. If Jason was constantly on fire...
I do not remember this being... I mean, I remember loving it, but this is fucking insane.
It's great,
people.
Isn't it?
And he's been put out by beer.
By beer. He's all foamy now. He's foamy Jason.
He's such a bro. But we've lost Bro Girl.
This is like frat day the 13th.
Yes, mate. Well, I'm really glad that we opened our beers for that. Yes!
Oh, it just keeps on giving.
He just was just like killing guy with bucket hat after guy with bucket hat.
Oh, I wish it wasn't all downhill from here.
There's Jason Mewes again from... Jay and Silent Bob. So yeah, should we just stop the podcast now? We've watched that scene twice.
Tom, we're going to see it through to the bitter end. Because that is what we do.
That's true. That is our remit.
Oh.
They're like, well, that was a bad rave. Why have none of you gone to the police station?
I think, didn't they leave before the killing started?
I can't even No, they didn't, remember. Because they found Bro Girl dead.
Oh, so they did. Oh,
so why have you not gone to the police station?
Because they're awful people.
Yeah. Fucking douche nozzles.
This van is so banging. Oh, Misfits air fresh.
Yes. Sick. This, like, puts, like, the creepy van from Freddy's... dead with like the Doom logo. To shame.
For shame.
Okay.
Yeah, what?
I saw your dad kill your mom.
Oh.
Like he's sneaking up to her room like Sam from Clarissa Explains
yes,
It All.
Yes, right, okay. So this is something that we didn't really... this is like a plot thread we didn't really cover in the like the previous episode because there was just like too much like fighting going on.
Yeah.
Supposedly Laurie's dad is the one that killed the mum rather than it being in a car accident. If he butchered her in a bed with a knife, how do you fake that and turn it into... but fake turn it into a car accident? Like, unless...
I'm not sure.
Unless he faked a car accident where she crashed into a knife factory.
They have to make them somewhere.
That is true. Mate, getting insurance on like a knife factory.
Or yeah, or at least the like the trucks that transport the knives. What you got in this truck? Just like a bunch of knives.
Yeah,
they're all like wrapped up. No, just loose. We're taking them to the place where we wrap them up.
Where are they? In a barrel. Yeah. No lid.
All right, we'll be careful because it's icy out.
Nah, fuck it. I'm gonna. What time are you leaving? 3 a.m.
What's on the radio? Motorhead.
No, I'm just gonna sing "Losing My Religion" to myself. Deep cut.
Deep cut, Tommy. Oh, dear. So there is like a recurrent thing throughout these Elm Street movies of like discovering that your parents have done something bad. Right? That's like from Elm Street 1. It's like finding out, oh, all your parents and your friends' parents before you were born, they got together and like murdered a man. Right?
Yes.
And that is why these bad things are happening now, is because of this like thing they did. And then here we are now, like at the near the end of this franchise, and she's finding out that her dad did something bad as well. It's like, you know, different thing, but like,
yeah, like those films like have a lot more like about the relationships with like parents and kids, whereas like Friday the 13th is like kids escaping their, you know, like
it's
what happens,
kids escaping their parents and doing the bad things. So in Friday the 13th, the kids get away from their parents, get drunk, have sex, pay the price.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this, it's more about that like moment where you lose. It's about that
where your parents aren't infallible anymore.
They're not. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, oh well, maybe I'm actually more moral than my parents, and they've done this bad thing, and I'm the one suffering the consequences. And blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
It's an interesting difference.
So, what happened with the... Did the dad kill the mum?
I don't know, mate.
You know, I kind of feel
can't
that...
remember.
Because part of me just thinks, did Freddy just do it?
I think he probably did, don't you?
Because maybe that's why the dad has been doping up the daughter to try and... Oh, I have no idea.
It's been a long time since we've seen this film, guys. And also, I appreciate if anyone's actually listening to us talk along with the film... Me and Tom, we're doing a lot of talking. We're not necessarily listening to everything everybody's saying. So sorry if they've explained this and we missed it.
Yeah, we are trying to watch the film with subtitles. But, you know, like, I'm not Superman. I can't do that many things all at once.
Okay, so this is looking like a classic Freddy Krueger setup.
Yes. So we've got the guy who was wearing a denim tent, who had escaped from the psychiatric hospital, and he's really freaked out by the possibility of a very hot shower, apparently.
That is a huge bathroom.
I was going to say.
That is too big. Mate, who has a bathroom that big?
You want to convert that into another bedroom or something, because that's just...
Or a snooker room or something.
Oh, yeah. Bathroom with a snooker table in it. Or you could leave...
A snooker bath.
Wake Aid is his stay awake pills. So yeah, he was talking about he's very frightened of Freddy, and there he is. Oh no, now he's gone.
Oh, he's lost his Wake Aid, his one Wake Aid pill. This podcast brought to you by Wake Aid. When you need to stay awake, think Wake Aid.
Bath full of blood.
Who's this guy? There's a guy in the bath. There's got loads of blood in it. Listen to ugly Ed Sheeran.
Isn't Ed Sheeran ugly already?
Okay,
listen to less ugly Ed Sheeran. I think that might have been the guy who wanted to play checkers with him in the psych hospital. I think he might be a mate from the psych... Oh, or is it his brother? I don't fucking know.
Anyway, he was saying his brother was dead. I think it was his brother, maybe.
There was some good nightmare imagery with, like, the snakes all going through his feet. All kind of CGI. Heavy use of blood in this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of claret.
Oh, yeah, look at this.
Oh, I like that. Bubbly arms.
Shades of The Shining with the room with the old lady in it where she comes out of the bath and, like, advances on him.
There he is.
What's he got on his face?
Just a bit of muck.
Just some random muck.
Just a bit of random muck.
So this is the Freddy face I like.
Yeah.
The shades are right, the cuts and the burns, they look right. Whereas in the last movie, they looked...
Ooh!
It was back caught on fire. A lot of people on fire.
Yeah. Because this is the film that tries to set up that, like, Freddy's got this thing about...
About fire, that he's scared of fire.
Well, actually, no, he kind of maybe is. The thing that's bullshit is they try to say that Jason is afraid of water, which he 100% is not.
There's no way Jason is afraid of water. Oh, that's kind of cool, though. Freddy's back, written on her back.
Burnt into his back, yes. Oh, there's...
Freddy's back. Do you think it's like Freddy apostrophe S back? Like, this back belongs to Freddy.
Yes.
Like, I own this back.
I mean, he did, definitely.
He owned it.
That was a good scene.
It's if that had come earlier in the movie before the cornfield scene, I would have been like, ooh, yeah. And then nicer build up for the cornfield scene.
So we've got Frosted Tips cop talking to the chief of police, who has got a ridiculous cigar, which is absolutely stealing the scene so far.
You're a loose cannon, McGonagall. You're not from around here. You listen to me.
When was New Nightmare? So this is 2003. So if New Nightmare was 99,
so
but
4 years of peace. So...
No, it can't be. It can't be because.
So when is this happening?
So original Elm Street was 84. And then New Nightmare was 10 years later, right? So that was 94.
Oh.
So this has been 9 years since the last Elm Street movie.
Mm.
So what the fuck is he talking about? Ah, though, maybe this is what you're talking about with the weird timeline bit and Freddy's dead being set 10 years in the future.
I just think they're just making it up. But here we are at the exposition party. So we've got... Kelly Rowland, Jay and Silent Bob guy, the kind of like the dorky bedwetter guy, the boyfriend, and Laurie, the final girl.
Suddenly and everyone's Frosted, drinking and everyone's drinking soft drinks now.
Yeah, there's Coca-Cola, there's Sprite, it's all there. And we've got Frosted Tips cop, who's just fucking waltzed in. And
how did he know where to find them?
Because it's an exposition party and they're all about to absolutely unravel every little bit of the plot there is.
Welcome to Exposition Anonymous.
Yes.
Hello, my name is Tips Cop. And it has been two movies since my last exposition.
Yes. He turns to Kelly Rowland and goes, where'd you get your tips done?
And like, he knows all their names. Like, Tips Cop knows who... They all are.
I think he's meant to be kind of like the cool cop who's kind of like down with the kids or something. I don't know. The thing that is just super annoying in all of these films is that they always just like... So Tips Cop thinks that it's a Jason Voorhees copycat and like Bedwetter guy has just said like, oh, no, it's definitely the real Jason. We saw him. He was on fire and he killed loads of people in bucket hats. And then, like, Tips Cop is like, no, it can't be, like, a copycat. He's dead. And it's kind of like, come on, dude. How many times did you lose or take that body to the morgue?
Yeah.
You know, like in all these films, they go like, it can't be Freddy Krueger. He's definitely 100% not responsible for hundreds of murders just after he died. Although I suppose that wouldn't be a very fun slasher film. There you go. It's Michael Myers. Michael Myers? Fuck!
Everybody out! Everybody out!
Call the National Guard. Well, then it would be like the beginning of Jason Goes to Hell.
Yes.
Where they finally do the sting operation. Where they're finally like, you know what? I'm sick of this douchebag. Uh-oh. Okay, Laurie's fallen asleep. She's having a bit of a nightmare. Oh, spooky
big tonguey kiss.
Spooky tongue.
Love a spooky tonguey kiss.
That's...
Those are
that
fake,
is creepy.
Those are fake teeth, right? Those are fake Freddy teeth. That's not really Bobby UK's teeth. Please tell me that's not Bobby UK's
real
teeth.
If I imagine that they are fake teeth...
She's got an ear, though! Oh, and it turned into maggots, though!
Oh, yeah, I imagine that those are not his real teeth unless, like, Wikipedia, like, Bobby UK, and, like, somewhere between The New Nightmare and this film, he got massively into heroin and his teeth just rotted away, and then he came back to kind of, like, get his act back together. I think they're probably fake.
I'm going to do a quick Google image search for Robert England teeth.
Okay, let's see what we get.
Let's see.
Okay, so...
I legitimately, without even meaning to, typed Bobby UK teeth and then realised that that wouldn't actually get me the results I want.
Wouldn't it be amazing if we could, like, just use Google enough to get it to the point that it would recognise Bobby UK as, like, turning up, like, Robert England in image search? Could we break the algorithm?
Maybe one day.
One day. Make it happen, people.
Okay, I can report that. From what I can see from this little picture, it looks like Bobby UK's teeth are fine. Don't panic, guys.
Thank God. Okay, Tips Cop is really freaking me out with his fucking Gary Busey face. This guy is just, like... I hope that Kevin Smith got some fucking money for, like, them just, like, stealing his character to put in this film.
Yeah, it's not... What is this weird war rooms style? Like, oh, it's just the room where we keep all the boxes with the blinking lights.
Yeah, what the fuck?
This is quite intense, isn't it?
It is a bit. Who's in there?
There's a cop, he's banging at the door, someone...
So are we back in the mental hospital? They've gone to get Hypnosil. They've gone to get Hypnosil so they can go into the dream world and... lure Freddy out. This is the part of the convoluted plan where they're gonna like drug Jason to make him sleep, give him Hypnosil. Laurie goes in using Hypnosil, so her to like lure Jason and Freddy together, and then they wake her up.
Yes.
Oh, what the fuck?
So this is the key scene that we didn't understand when we watched this a year ago without having seen any of the Elm Streets. So yeah, these are the kids who wouldn't stop dreaming, and they've been, like, preserved in this, like, permanent coma.
Oh, they've been, too much Hypnosil, puts them in a coma, equals creepy blue filter room. Got it.
And her murdering dad, his name, he was the last person to sign off
right
on the charts.
Why is this guy, like, smoking weed while they're, like, on, like, a top-secret mission to break into a mental health...
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, because he's an irresponsible prick.
Okay, and he...
What the fuck? That's actually what he said. What the fuck is that wormy thing?
He's like, whoa, that is some bad early noughties CGI, bro. Oh, it's horrible.
It's like...
Oh, it's horrible.
I do not remember this from when we watched it before.
It's like the caterpillar from Alice in Wonderland, but with Freddy Krueger's face getting blazed on a massive hooker, getting cheap Jay and Silent Bob high.
This is like this movie's version of the Freddy's Dead video game sequence, right?
Kinda. That was some ugly CGI.
Oh, oh, now he's good, like, though. Super stunned. That's good. Yeah, all the coma kids have woken up.
They've all got like these like bandages over their eyes. They're all like whispering at him. They've all got like electrodes on their heads. This is actually like scary. I'm a bit worried that fucking worm's gonna come back though.
Oh, there's bloody eyes is cool.
Yeah. Oh,
they need the hypnosis. Oh, so Freddy's making him get rid of the Hypnosil.
Yes, because he's onto them. He's like, no, I don't want to fight Jason.
Oh, the worm's coming back! Oh. Oh my god, that worm looks so shit.
Oh, it's just gone down his... Oh no.
Straight down the old gullet there.
Nah, mate. Yeah, the crazy, like, console room.
Yeah. Dude. Right, but it's all right. Now Jason's here.
Yeah. So did the Jay and Silent Bob guy, again, did he fall asleep?
Is that why Freddy... Because Freddy's now possessed him? That's new, isn't it?
Maybe he fell asleep just because he got, like, super stoned.
Frosted Tips Cop just got massively electrocuted.
I thought Tips Cop made it to the end.
Nah, man. Oh, he got killed something fierce. Like, Jason just, like, smashed his head into, like, a massive bank of, like... computers.
Oh, mate! He looks
more like Gary Busey now than ever with his, like, hideously deformed burnt face. Boo-boo!
Okay.
Okay, it's all coming to a head here. Yeah, because... Oh. Freddy is possessing someone.
Yeah.
That is a new... power for Freddy, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, he did that.
Mate, he's not Jason Voorhees from, like, Part 9.
He's not a spooky...
Well, he actually is a spooky worm like Jason from Part 9.
He is a spooky worm like Jason from Part 9. But don't forget, yeah, Freddy possessed the guy in Elm Street Part 2, Freddy's Revenge. It was all about... It was a possession move. Mm,
that is the one where the rules go wonky, isn't it? Right, okay. So the possessed... Jane Silent Bob guy with Freddy Krueger in him is going to fight Jason, and he's got syringes full of what was the drug called? Like immobiline.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's immobiline. I mean, that is the correct response, Jason. Well done.
Yes.
For chopping him in half.
Okay.
That is...
I've got to say, all of Jason's kills in this.
Tippity top, right? It just goes to show that you don't need fancy effects. You just need a big lad with a machete.
Yes. These are my children, Jason.
Go back where you belong. You plucked him out of where he belonged, which was in hell.
Because this film was in development for a very long time.
It was.
Do you think that they ever considered just like doing it with a different combo of baddies?
Well, what would you have suggested?
I don't know. Like, could they have done
James Bond versus Indiana Jones?
Yes. No, I mean, like, could you have done Jason versus Michael Myers?
I think they're too similar.
Or, like, is that too... I guess a bit like Pinhead versus Freddy would maybe be a bit too...
Well, the thing is that, like, Freddy is his own... Freddy's rules are so, like, specific about, like, this whole dream thing. Mm. The kind of any movie you put him in is a Freddy movie, right?
Yeah.
And I would say the same thing about Pinhead, that, like, his rules... Like, if you start getting, like, Freddy's trying to fight people in their dreams, Pinhead's trying to get people to open the box, it's like, how do you get this crazy situation where someone that's like, okay, I'm going to open the box in my dreams.
Yeah.
And then they're both going to show up and fight over my soul, like...
Yeah, I know what you mean. Oh, Freddy just had both his arms cut off by Jason. Oh, and he was just like, wanker.
Wanker!
You're a proper wanker, Jason. I agree. I think that you would have to do, like, Pinhead versus Freddy, where Freddy dies and Freddy is trapped in hell.
That'd be cool.
And he's trying to... So he doesn't have necessarily the same kind of skill set that he does...
Yeah, exactly. He, like, loses some of it. So that's the thing. You need someone to be, like, a fish out of water. Mm. And that's Jason at the moment, right?
Yes, so this is, like, the first fight between the two of them. And this is where it's in... Freddy is fighting him in the dream world in his spooky dream boiler. Red filter for a change. Oh, this is the bit where Bobby UK is just, like, waggling his dick around.
Yeah.
And
it controlling Jason with his dick.
And CGI. It's like a... Okay, it sounds
it's
like
a... It's a pinball. This is...
Yeah, okay.
Oh!
That was the line.
Freddy just said tilt.
And
the quippometer is off the charts.
And they had, like, pinball sound effect. Yeah, they... You muffed it, mate.
He muffed it up.
He really did. It's been pretty strong so far, Bobby UK, but I'm not sure about that one. That was not so cool. Do you know why? Because he's fucking Jason Voorhees. That's why he won't die.
He doesn't die. Even, like, when he does, he doesn't.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, the same could be said for you, Freddy. Why don't you die? And if any, no. But, and also, Jason's had more films than you.
I feel like we're being a little bit negative. Like, I don't want to give the impression that I don't love Elm Street, because I do, and I love Freddy Krueger and I love Bobby UK.
Yeah.
It's just been a long time since we've seen any of these Friday movies, and it's just bringing a nice, tasty flavour.
Yeah. Now, this is the bullshit moment. So Jason is really frightened of water right now. You know, that thing that he has, like, literally walked miles through in several films.
Oh, yeah, when he swam to New York.
Yeah, exactly. Like that bit when Tommy was in the middle of the burning lake and he just walked through it to try and get to him.
Yeah, yeah. That is some red-hot bullshit.
Yeah, not into that. Right. Oh, so they're back in the blue light drug
blue
van.
Blue van. Yeah, they're driving to Crystal Lake
because apparently they reckon Jason is more powerful there. Jason's got a very smooth head in this. He hasn't got that moldy head that he's got in some of the films.
No, but he does have like the longer hair, like the roadie hair, like Jason Newstead style.
Yes. Oh.
Oh, he's turned into little boy Jason.
Little boy.
Oh, he's all shivery. So they never really went into this, but like... Oh my God, the mother head! Ah, Pamela Voorhees!
So Freddy is taunting Jason with Pamela's severed head. Classic.
Do you know they asked the original Mrs. Voorhees to do the film and she said no because she thought that the part was too small?
Amazing.
I know.
Like, she hadn't been in any of the films since, but she's still like holding out. Like, obviously she's just been at home letting it go to her head. Fuck. So this is something else I completely forgot. Like, Freddy just stuck his like razor finger into baby Jason Voorhees's head.
And now we're like, this is inside Jason's mind, right?
Mm.
Where he's just got his like island of death.
Yeah.
This is banging.
Freddy wants to see the skeletons in the closet, and it's...
a load of drowned camp counsellors.
Yeah. I mean, it's much of a muchness to what you do, Freddy, really.
Well, yeah, but...
oh, that was exploitative. Little bit of zombie nipple there. Thanks for that, film. We really needed that. So, my memory of watching this film...
right.
...is that I was... disappointed, not with the Jason kills,
right,
but with how he looked.
Because okay, well, it's a different. It's a different. So Ken Kersinger playing Jason instead of the Kane Hodder, who's
he'd done it for like four films in a row, and I don't think he was as beefy. He seemed like a slimmer Jason, but watching this, he looks pretty banging.
It he might looks be, pretty beefy.
It might be because we've spent a lot of time away from him. And it's also because we just haven't quickly watched four films with Kane Hodder, who is basically like a wall with a face.
It's really interesting, right? What is a scarier concept? Like a little guy who can get inside your head, or just a big brick shithouse who can just punch your head off? And I'm going to be honest, I know that like the intellectual idea is supposed to be, oh, it's the little guy who can get into your head. I'm... you know, pretty weedy.
Yeah.
I am scared of the big brick shit house. That is who I am scared of.
This is exploitative.
Can't you see I'm busy? That's not quite... so this scene, this is where Jason is drowning, back in the day.
Yeah.
Jason's drowning because the counselors are having sex. Now, the way that actually went down was... they were up in like a barn or something. They were like miles away. It wasn't that they were literally boning on the porch in the middle of the day.
In front of
meters
everybody.
Away while people going, aren't you going to help him? And they're like, yeah, in a minute. I'm just getting started.
And the whole thing about this is like, I don't know, is it that like, I thought it was just like it was an accident. But in this, it looks like the children of Crystal Lake murdered Jason.
Yeah, I think the implication is they didn't mean to murder him. They meant to, you know. they were just like trying to fuck him up. Like,
this is
they
quite
were
dark. This whole bit with like, we've just had about like at least 5 minutes of Freddy Krueger just picking on like a physically deformed child.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's dark, mate.
Well, I mean, Freddy is a child murderer. He's not a child picker on her.
Yeah, that's yeah. I guess it's within his remit to.
Yeah, but it's also interesting. Like, weirdly, obviously, totally love Jason. It weirdly would have made more sense to pit Freddy Krueger against Mrs. Voorhees.
Ooh, that would be interesting. Is Kelly Rowland about to give mouth to mouth to Jason Voorhees?
I hope so.
I mean,
this is great.
Yeah,
pulling the mask off.
Oh, this is fucked. Oh no, Kelly, I don't think you want to.
She is doing it. She's holding her nose. She's coming in. Oh no,
he's gone fucking bananas.
Bananas.
Fucking hell. I feel I need to look up Kelly Rowland's IMDb because, like, I don't remember her ever really doing any other films.
Tom, you would be doing me a personal favour if you looked up Kelly Rowland's IMDb.
That's a nice shot.
That is a nice shot, yeah.
Freddy leaping out of Crystal Lake.
I also would like you to let me know how old Kelly Rowland is.
Yep, okay.
Okay, so...
I've got to say, actually, looking up how old people are on Wikipedia, that's like a little game that I just personally like to play. I'm just always kind of like, I wonder how old they are.
Do you guess their age before you look it up and then find out if you're right, or do you just go straight to the result?
No, I just look and I'm just satisfied with whatever the answer is.
No matter what. Do you ever look and are not satisfied?
No, I'm always usually quite satisfied. But my new game, which also maybe can play, is I just like Googling famous people's names followed by net worth. So actually, Kelly Rowland can wait.
Bobby UK net worth?
But...
What? So I wouldn't know what a net worth is. I'm going to say, I don't know. I feel like dude works a lot. I don't know. A cool mil.
That's what you're saying. That's what he's got in the bank. That's what he's...
Bobby UK. That's what I'm guessing.
You owe Mr. Bobby UK an apology. 14 million.
Wait, 1-4?
$14 million.
$14 million. Bobby UK, well done, lads. Get those teeth fixed.
He's obviously, like, you know, like, squirreled some money away. He's bought some property. Good for him. Right, now, Kelly Rowland.
Kelly Rowland's net worth, I mean...
Oh, her net worth. Oh, I'll do her net worth. That must be...
Like, no offence to Ms. Rowland, but probably less than Bobby UK, right?
Nah, mate, she was in Destiny's Child.
I know, like, but how long did that last?
Long enough, mate. And also, like, you're still going to be making money off of Destiny's Child.
Okay, all right. Go on then, what is it?
20 million. Obviously, like, in...
That's impressive.
I think that you and me are, like, living in, like, slightly different worlds where, like, you know, you're kind of like the idea that, like, Kelly Rowland could not possibly have made more money than... I think it says a lot about, like, kind of, like... where our heads are at and, like, where we're following popular culture. Oh, Kelly Rowland's just got absolutely twatted in the face by Jason Voorhees.
I'm going to be honest with you. If you were to draw a pie chart of all the times in my life I've ever said the word Kelly Rowland or thought about Kelly Rowland,
yeah,
right, you would have just a complete solid circle,
yeah,
of the time that I've been watching this film with you.
Fair enough. Okay, so there's a lot going on here. Freddy is kind of like perving on Laurie in the dream world. That's unpleasant.
The
bedwetter just impaling Jason with the American flag.
Jason doesn't give a fuck.
Is there anything more patriotic than that if you're an American? Americans, please let us know. I doubt that there is. So, ooh, what's going on?
So, this is where I start to get a bit confused. Can you just confirm for me, this cabin that they're in that is on fire, is it real or is it a dream?
That is real.
Okay.
That is in Crystal Lake, I think.
This is where, like, the new metal starts to come in, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I think that this is real. Because, yes, that's because Freddy is shitting it because he realises he's in the real world.
Yeah, right. Oh, man, this is...
Oh, Freddy just tried to kick Jason in the pills and it did not work. Oh, I'm loving the soundtrack. Just really, really generic new metal. Jason is... This is what I remember from the last time, like, listening back to, like, the previous podcast that we did to refresh my memory. It's like, it is just like a brawl. It's like when Jason's on his A game, it's like a bar brawl.
Yeah, it really kicks off.
Kelly Rowland was born in 1981.
1981, so she's 2 years older than me. That would make her...
She's like 35, 36.
Yeah.
36, actually, her birthday... it was earlier this month.
Earlier this month?
36.
Happy birthday, Kelly Rowland.
So, she... Let me see. What's her filmography?
Is it just like a big picture of...
it's just a lot of pictures
of the poster for this movie.
Dancing with the Stars. Just...
So this guy, the bedwetter, right, who's dying against the tree, he also looks like a very young John Cusack.
Yes, he looks a bit like John Cusack, and he also looks a little bit like the guy who played... McLovin in
Christopher Mintz Platts.
Yeah, kind of like if Christopher Mintz Platts and John Cusack had a baby.
Okay.
I
mean, I can't imagine any scenario where that would be allowed to happen, but
yeah. Oh, Freddy called someone a bitch. That's what he likes doing. He's got some issues.
Classic Freddy punctuation. Oh. This is like the trolley problem. You got two people there you can kill, or one person over there you can kill.
Oh,
don't say that, Freddy. That line has not aged well.
I mean, I don't even know if that line was really cool. That's not cool.
And that line isn't great either.
Okay, so We're casting around a lot of slurs here, aren't we? Come on, 2003, pull it together.
This scene is actually really weird. Comparing the size of their knives.
Yeah, like a dick measuring competition.
Yeah. I mean...
Oh!
That's what Jason does, right?
Okay, that was quite a nice twist on it. That was quite a nice twist on it, though, because I didn't remember that. Like, I just assumed that Freddy would kill her because she was winding him up, and then Freddy's like, nah, I'll let Jason kill her.
It will be way more satisfying that
way. Yeah. Hmm, refreshingly satisfying.
Yeah. So, right, the dad didn't do it. The dad didn't murder the mum. She just said...
It was Freddy.
It was the Fredster.
Krug dog.
Oh, yeah. He's just like fucking... I'm sorry, but it's nothing like, Bobby UK is doing is like coming close to hurting Jason.
I mean, it is like watching like WWE in 2003. A lot of new metal and then like Freddy Krueger like elbow dropping Jason.
It's more like watching a horse fight a wasp. Like, the horse does not give a fuck about this wasp flying around it.
No.
Like, Freddy keeps launching these, like, air canisters, which are obviously at every camp. You've got to have all your air canisters.
Yeah.
Jason doesn't give a fuck, mate.
Gotta say, Kelly Rowland does not have any impressive credits other than this. A lot of music videos are popping up. And TV series appearances. But that's about it.
Oh, hello. Oh. Hello. Lots of, like, metal spikes, rebar on that. That bit's kind of cool. It's a shame. I feel like these sequences are probably the most expensive of the film.
Mm.
But they're not the best. They're fine. I just want more of that cornfield bit.
Well, this is pretty cool. But
don't get me wrong.
But I do like it when they're just like literally just like toe-to-toe punching each other in the face. That's pretty awesome. Because here, like, Freddy is going a little bit now like being Daffy Duck because like his like booby or like Wile E. Yeah, Coyote because his trap isn't working.
Yeah, true dat, true dat. Oh no. Oh, that's a cool little bit of like blood spurting.
Yeah.
Oh no. Would you wear that jumper, like the Freddy jumper? I'd wear that jumper.
I mean, to be honest, I kind of did wear that jumper. Well, no, it's very similar to like the Dennis the Menace / Kurt Cobain jumper. Yeah. So, you know, in my sort of like mop-haired teenage grunge listening youth, I had a big stripy jumper.
Well, I think I might be wrong, but I think this is probably like a bullshit story, but I think I heard somewhere that one of the reasons that jumper was decided on, especially for the first movie, is that like the human eye isn't great at seeing red and green next to each other. Like these certain shades, it's like,
okay,
it's like it kind of confuses the brain a bit when you see them next to each other like that, because it's like danger colors, it's like blood in the jungle, you know.
Okay.
And that's why they picked it. But then as the movies have gone on, they've kind of moved away from it being red and green, and it's more just kind of red and like
murky, like fucking brown or
something. Yeah.
Oh, so he's cut all of Jason's fingers off.
Jason's not going to give a fuck about it. What does he need fingers for?
Like, he barely even has a face.
He doesn't have to phone anybody.
Yeah. But he has to hold a machete.
He's got another hand for
that. There is so much blood in this film. Way more blood, I feel, than in any of the... of either series. This has got to be the bloodiest one.
Fuck me. The way he's chopping at his back there.
He's got his rad little chopper.
Yeah, it's quite interesting to see Freddy using the machete. Oh, straight in the eyes. So here's the thing. Like, should Jason really bleed? Is he a zombie? Is
he should.
Bleed? I don't know.
Okay, Laurie's got some just big flaming sticks because they've doused the jetty. They're fighting on the jetty. Classic Crystal Lake jetty.
It's like the opening of the Olympic Games.
Yep, and now, so they've set fire to it, which obviously Freddy doesn't like, but it's on the water, which Jason doesn't like.
Apparently.
But obviously he does.
Yeah.
He lives in like fucking Atlantis.
Did you just call Crystal Lake Atlantis? Whoa! Jason just ripped Freddy's arm off! Yes! Oh, he is beating his ass! This is such a one-sided fight!
Oh, no, but here we go. There you go.
But the thing is, like, yeah, okay, Freddy stabbed Jason with his own machete. Jason's not gonna give a fuck! He is not gonna give a monkey's, mate. Dare I say, don't face him!
I think you're right with your observation there. I don't think it fazes him. A lot of propane in Crystal Lake.
Propane and propane accessories.
Do you think this is existing in the same universe as King of the Hill?
Of course it is.
Is there an episode where like Hank's got to go on a business trip to like New Jersey?
The bloody wants to be.
Don't take Bobby. He'll get... Jason will be right after him.
Bobby Hill and Bobby UK.
Oh my god, yeah. Bobby Hill and Khan Jr. getting too close, and then Jason's like, what? I don't like that.
I haven't seen King of the Hill in years. Thanks, Tom, for reminding me.
It's an alright show.
Is that a weird little tattoo she's got?
Yeah, what is it of? Is it like a peach?
Could be like a peach or a heart.
Yeah, maybe.
Or it could just be like a burn.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Oh, are they coming? Is this it? Are they coming out?
No.
Oh, this is the fake ending before the ending.
Yeah.
It's Jason. He's got the machete.
I don't think it is, mate.
Wait, is it?
I think it's K-Dog.
But there's the machete doll. Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Bobby UK.
Because he hasn't got his arm. He ain't got no arm, though.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
mate.
Stabbed with his own hand. Dope. Way to go, Jason.
It's just funny to see Jason go down from exhaustion.
Well, yeah, he doesn't breathe. Like, he doesn't sleep. He just keeps coming. And, like, why would being stabbed with his own hand kill Freddy? Like, Freddy's been burned. Freddy's been, like, buried in consecrated ground.
Oh,
welcome to my world, bitch.
So Laurie just shouted, welcome to my world, bitch, and cut Freddy's head off.
Like they...
So I'm glad someone, they're taking back the term bitch from Freddy.
True. But, like, they even returned Freddy to his mother's womb. Which seems pretty, like, eventful, and that didn't stop him.
Well, we know it doesn't stop him because 10 years after this, he goes and kills every child
in Springwood, Ohio. Including Roseanne Barr's child.
And we know that this doesn't stop Jason because then
he gets frozen and goes to space.
Yeah, and doesn't he kill David Cronenberg?
He does kill David Cronenberg. That's a very good point.
David Cronenberg, like, has this weird, like, change of career where he goes into the military in the future.
It's a very, very strange cameo.
Very, yeah.
All right, so this is kind of the wrap-up bit, right?
So Freddy and Jason have both killed each other.
Oh, I like that little whang, that little flute noise.
Yeah, that's good. Misty as fuck, Crystal Lake. Looking crystal clear as well. Looking lovely. I can see why people go there.
Yeah, it does look nice.
It's all right. Hey, it's a boy. Oh, but with some sick bongos in the back.
Loving this.
Big ass machete.
Oh, what's he dragging? What's he dragging?
It's Bobby UK.
The Fred head. Ah. Hello, Cheeky. He's proper winky.
He is proper winky. Mate.
Ronnie, you. You did a 5.5 out of 10 job.
That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Produced by Seanus Cunningham, though.
What did Seanus Cunningham do?
Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah, of course. I was thinking, why does that...
You fucking knew.
Yeah, it's like, why does...
Executive producer Robert Shea from Elm Street.
Okay,
well.
Yeah. I mean, it took them a long time to get this film done, and it was... I feel it was a lot of fun watching it again, probably because we were just, like, chatting shit, like, more so than we normally do when we watch these films. And then we just, like, kind of go, oh, hang on a minute, Jason's killing some people.
Yeah, oh, conversation stopped. Let's just see where he's going with this. Where's he going with this? Oh, yeah, with the machete thing, yeah.
And
okay.
I don't want to keep on ragging on Freddy because I've grown close to him. But I feel like now I've seen... both of, like, the best of what these guys have to offer. I really think that Jason steals the show in that one. I like a strong, silent type. You know?
Yeah.
I feel that actually Bobby UK puts in a strong performance in that. His wacky moments are quite minimal.
Yeah, I could have definitely done without that pinball machine scene where he's, like, flying... Jason around the room with his dick and, like, he's making, like, pinballs and then
absolutely.
He goes, tilt.
That bit's could do without that and could do without that exchange between him and Kelly Rowland where they both say, like, kind of, like, dodgy things to each other. Didn't like that. But other than that, I think that that Big Bob, it's Bobby, Captain Bobby UK, he's done better. Like, you know, like he'd been away for a while, came back. Like he was having fun.
Yeah, fair play to the Bobster.
I like there's some people in the credits. Beerline Girl, Beerline Guy.
Dead Girl in Lake Tree.
Skipping Girl, School Nurse. And
yeah.
Lots of stunt doubles for everyone.
Hey, listen, if you've made it this far through the commentary, then you are a true Bitter End fan. So thank you very much for watching the movie with us. We really want to know if you thought different of the movie, if we got some bits wrong, like just talk to us, bruh.
Yeah. Thanks, you know, to everyone who's like been like sticking with the poddy.
Yeah, for like the past 50 episodes.
People who've been getting in touch with us, dropping us a line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So next we're going to watch
Shout out to all of you.
Yeah,
out
shout out to you guys. And next we're going to watch the Elm Street remake, right? And that is the bitter end of this franchise.
Man.
End of season 5, almost.
So I am very interested in seeing it. So it's another one produced by Michael Bay, like the remake of Friday the 13th.
Which we surprisingly liked quite, like, more than we expected to, I think.
Also, no Bobby UK in it. Instead, the part is being taken by, I can't remember the actor's name, but he was the guy who played Rorschach in
The Watchmen.
In The Watchmen. I got to say, you know, say what you will about The Watchmen film. Some people don't like it, some people like it. I think he was a good Rorschach. I think like he was really good in that. And I could see when he was cast to be Freddy Krueger, having only seen the first one, I was like, I bet he could probably do an all right job.
Yeah, yeah.
Will I be right? Will I be wrong? Probably a bit of both.
Yeah, I'm up for it. I think it's going to be a mixed bag. It's weird that like that guy, he's not really been in the public eye that much since. He's one of those actors that you would have thought would like really rise to.
I guess there's not a lot of roles with spooky ginger guys.
There should be more.
There should be more. I don't know. Maybe he does something terrible in this film, and that's what killed it.
If you are listening to this podcast and you're a screenwriter, please try to insert a role for a spooky ginger guy in your next project. Even if it's not a horror film, just pop a spooky ginger in there.
Yeah.
Because there aren't enough of those around there.
Definitely, definitely. So, yeah, I guess, is that us? We've never done one. Like, that was a bit of a long haul, wasn't it, mate?
It's our longest podcast ever. You know, I'm enjoying watching the credits roll all the way by finding out who the catering was. We don't normally do this. Who provided the boats?
Yeah.
Commentary was different. It feels weird because I'm fully, like, every part of my body is now braced for us to, like, do an hour's worth of chat about it now.
Yeah, it's weird.
On top of what we've just done, which is how it normally rolls down.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, you know, we're just going to kind of go our separate ways.
Yeah, I guess so. But we'll be back soon. Do for the bitter end, Nightmare on Elm Street again. Michael Bay edition. So everything will explode, I guess. And the Transformers show up at the end. And it's all part of like a shared universe.
Fucking Spine Shank on the soundtrack there. Oh, sorry, mate, I'm just looking at who did the different songs.
Okay, who else?
Junkie XL, a couple of tracks by, few tracks
Smitty,
by someone
Typo Negative, R.I.P. Peter Steele. Another Spine Shank, Il Nino. Chimera, there's a lot of also...
Kill Switch Engage,
there's
though.
A lot of also ran new metal.
It's all
here.
The Roadrunner bands, I think, basically.
Yeah, I think so. Well... And this is it. This is the credits.
This is awkward, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're just waiting for the credits to end.
Prints by Deluxe Laboratories, released by Fujifilm.
I mean, if you're listening to this point, you're seeing these credits roll past as well.
Based on Basic characters by Wes Craven.
Victor Miller as well, though. Who's Victor Miller?
Obviously the guy who wrote Friday the 13th.
Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, whoa. You mean the characters and incidents portrayed and the names herein are fictitious?
But Bobby UK is real, right?
Bobby UK is real.
Right, so, okay, here we go. Is there going to be a post-credit scene?
Post-credit scene.
Samuel L. Jackson's going to pop up? No. Fuck
no.
It.
Oh, fucking bullshit.
Oh, well.
All right, then. Bye.
Bye.